What is going on?
A little twang in your introduction.
Oh,
there.
Really?
Love track.
Hey, y'all.
The Southern coming out.
I did.
Sarah.
Was born and raised in Florida. It's
yeah.
Kind of the South.
Yeah, I guess. You don't really say y'all.
No, just sometimes when I'm feeling frisky.
I grew up outside of Atlanta, and I don't because I don't have an accent.
Right.
Both my parents are from the Northeast, but I have friends that I moved out of Atlanta after high school, and they kind of had an accent, but then like I would see them a few years later, like in college, and it was like heavy. I feel like when
yeah.
you go away to school, I don't know, maybe they were just around more people that talk like this, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you know.
I think it sounds so sweet.
I'm kind of glad I don't
have... you don't have an accent like that?
No offense to our Southerners out there listening with an accent.
That Southern charm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I enjoy it in others. I just don't know if I would like to hear myself talk like that.
Our guest today had a very lovely accent.
Go. Polish,
yes.
Actually.
Very
actually.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And we dove in and talk about recouping after a breakup. So whether you've recently been through one or you're dating or even if you're in a relationship, there's a lot of valuable stuff in today's episode. And I'll tell you a little bit about our guest, Dalila Jusic-LaBerge. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She got her degree from UCLA and master's in clinical psychology from Pepperdine and is the owner of Be Here Now Counseling and Relationship Academy. And we dive into what Dalila has laid out as four stages of recouping. And we go through each stage and there's a lot of valuable applications that you can implement today right away to be on your way to recouping. And then not more importantly, but equally important, finding the right partner the next time, not going, getting stuck in the same patterns. And like I said, even if you're in a relationship, there's going to be some valuable information as far as working on yourself, what to look for, how to communicate with your partner in order to make things all good.
Yes. And if you're looking for some more resources that we offer, we would love for you guys to check out our Love Tribe on Facebook. You can find it by searching Love Tribe Fam on Facebook and it comes up. And we have a private group of, I think, almost 2,000 people now really supporting each other and being there and asking each other questions. And it's really just a beautiful thing. So we really encourage you guys to check that out. And then also check out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. We have that always available on our website, and we've had some wonderful feedback, and we know you guys have really enjoyed
it.
And that is, yeah, it's, well, they're both free. So
both free.
Free resources for you guys to help improve the relationships in your life. So, and as always, thanks so much for listening to the show. Enjoy. Today's show is brought to you by our online course, Spark My Relationship. Create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days. We've collaborated with 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients. To unlock a special offer only for iDo Podcast listeners, visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Hi, Dalila. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
We like to start our shows with having you tell us and our listeners why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships.
Well, I feel relationships are essence of who we are as human beings. We are mammals, and moreover, we are social animals. And, at the very beginning of our life, that was the major parts that we needed to work on. Major task is to attach and maintain that attachment with a parental figure, whoever was taking care of us. And sometimes these things don't work out perfectly for, not sometimes, for everybody actually in the world. We may have some issues from our childhoods, and relationships are something, and love in general, are something that people crave the most deep down. And that ultimately brings the most happiness, at least for my kind of clientele. Everything happens for love, because of love, or lack of love. That's the way I see it. And I see so many people craving love, but they struggle because they don't know how to go about it, or what they need to do to get it. And I want to help them be able to receive that love from the right partner, ultimately.
Well, today's topic is really going to help a lot of people out there find that love once they have recouped after a breakup. And so that's what we're here to talk to you about, is learning how to get over a breakup and be able to move on. So I guess to jump right in, is there anything that you see the overall factor being to help improve someone's well-being or love for themselves or for a future relationship that allows them to move on from a past breakup into a successful and healthy relationship?
Well, one of the most important parts is that they kind of take time for themselves right after that breakup. I actually identified four stages in terms of breakup, after breakup, if you want to find love. Obviously, when you just break up with somebody, you are not in that space. And that first stage is, I call, stabilization. And in that stage, focusing just on taking care of yourself in best ways, seeking support from a therapist, from family members, friends. But you know who those good family members and friends are. You know, not everybody is ultimately a well-wisher, or not everybody knows you and how to make you feel better by their words. Sometimes people may even be well-meaning, but they say some things that are not necessarily most healing, or understand that show that they understand that person, what they're going through. So during this stage of stabilization, just take time, focus on other things, because there are so many other aspects of life that you might, you know, be good at: work, family, friends, hobbies. So shift your focus a little bit on that, and mainly take care of yourself. Improve your diet, maybe do some yoga, meditation, working out. Take care of your body specifically, because body and mind are connected. And then seek out those, seek out support. Go and take a vacation if you can. Go visit your grandma or some aunt that was always good and that was always there for you and good to you, and made you feel better whenever you were down, and depending on your time and ability.
These are great places to start, and I want to dive into all these four stages. Maybe can you touch on, during the stabilization phase, it seems like recouping from a breakup, like there can be like a big sense of loss, and you know, people feel like there's no hope, and certainly seeking support is going to help. But maybe you can talk a little bit about why, like the psychology of that, why we feel so down in the dumps after a breakup.
That's such a great question, and I hope it helps our audience, because it feels really horrible to be in that space. But it is completely natural, and it happens to everybody who was attached in that relationship. And as I said, we are mammals. And when we break up with somebody, especially in a romantic relationship, it brings up these most profound and deepest insecurities with our attachment. Like, say, if you're a baby, you're like 2 months old and your mom, say, goes away from your room and you cry and she didn't hear you for longer than 5 minutes, you go into a stage of when you literally experience trauma because you feel, as a baby, you're going to die. Nobody's going to take care of me. So there are various ways in which this plays out. So similar kinds of feelings of desperation and panic happen when we break up with somebody, when we lose that relationship. So it's very complex. There is, as you said, sense of loss, and also these old, I call them primitive. They're not primitive in terms of, they're not sophisticated, but they're deep-seeded, deep-rooted feelings and this sense of panic that occurs when we lose a relationship with somebody.
Thank you so much for kind of pointing that out. And obviously, we can't go through all the circumstances because they are so complex, but I had not had many relationships, but just even before Sarah and I met, but even like a high school, my first serious girlfriend, like the breakup, it's like, what is this pain? Like, this is, this
exactly.
is, and, yeah. you know, I wasn't even super in love with her. I didn't think like we were getting married or anything like that. You know, I liked her, but it was like, you know, and then we broke up and it was kind of mutually agreed upon even. And it was like just this terrible feeling. I was like, this is new. I don't like it. And it makes a lot of sense that it's tied into these deep seated, survival instincts that we have as mammals. Mm-hmm. So, realizing that it's okay to have these feelings and that, they are very much natural and what has helped us survive, and evolve as humans. So it doesn't take away the fact that they suck, but they are there, and you're going to help us work through them. So we talked about stabilization and taking care of ourselves, seeking support. You know, if you have that friend and family network, that's huge and so important, even if you're in a healthy relationship, but certainly after a breakup. So what is the next phase that we can move into?
Next phase is reflection. That's when you are already stabilized. You are okay. You are going through, your other parts of life are okay. And that's what I always point out, you know, keep up various parts of life going on in a good order, your work, hobbies and, your studies or whatever your thing is at the stage of life. So reflection is the time when you can kind of explore what happened in the relationship. And it's important to re-examine what went wrong, what went right, what was so good about this person, what didn't work for you, why did you choose this person? Because again, I'll always go to this old stuff. From our childhoods, we choose our partners based on what we get or don't get from our family because we like that familiarity. So say if you are a woman who had a father that's kind of distant and emotionally unavailable, you will most likely be seeking men for a while until you kind of learn that lesson in life, who are also emotionally unavailable, although you will crave this deep connection with somebody. And when you meet a guy, until you heal this part of yourself, when you meet a guy that's ready to give you love fully, you will not be attracted to him. Something will repel you. So Going back and realizing why you picked this particular partner, in other words, also what's good about him, because at every stage of life, I believe we got what we needed for that stage of life. And I also feel we kind of need to be ready for what we want. If you want love, you kind of need to be ready to receive it as well, to give it.
It's so interesting how our childhoods and how we receive or don't receive love from our parents affect our adult relationships. And the contradiction you just laid out of, like, if you have a distant father, then that's what you might seek. But then when you're given the real love, it kind of repulsive to you. And it's a small example of why being in relationships are so complicated. And right. Even if you're in a stable relationship now, it's just so fascinating. And if we can realize this, and especially in the toxic forms where you're with that person that's being distant, and realizing that the reason underlying that is from your childhood, and in that it's actually not healthy. And so maybe when you're seeking a new partner, you're not staying in that same pattern. I want to talk a little bit about reflection and ask you, it seems like this is a place that we can get really stuck, because if we're constantly ruminating about what went wrong, or just, you know, maybe we can win them back, or now in the age of social media, you're stalking them on their social media, just watching them, what they're doing. It seems like this is a place that, you know, definitely could have its own podcast episode, because there's a lot of nuance. But how can we not get caught in a pattern of, you know, reflecting too much or stalking our partners online that we've talked about in the past, cutting that off, you know, unfollowing them on social media, but then running it through our heads? How do we not get stuck in that pattern?
Well, that's a great question. And obviously it will take some conscious efforts here. There was a reason why this person is an ex. If you are stuck on this particular person, you're not going to be likely able to attract a new love and a new partner, because you will, you know, new person will feel that. So you just have to make that effort, you know, whatever it means for you, not to be on social media or not to follow them on social media. I usually do not like, in my life, I do not like cutting people off completely, but maybe saying, you know, for next 6 months, it's the best if we don't contact each other. And as I already said, just kind of focus on yourself. And the best thing to do in this situation is to stay away from relationships in general, romantic relationships. It's recommended by almost everybody in the industry, and therapists including therapists as well. So just focus on those other areas of life. I know it's there is that panicky feeling, especially at the beginning. Oh my God, you know, I'm like alone, like a baby whose mom just left the room, and baby doesn't know if mom will ever come back. But understanding, connecting your brain with your emotions, just as you described in when we talked about the previous stage, in other words, understanding these are emotions and kind of observing your emotions and going through them and understanding, okay, I'm feeling panicky, but I will be okay. And continue, you know, it's a part of that stabilization. Reflecting on your relationship and learning about it isn't the same as obsessing and following this person. It's really not. It's completely different. But, you know, just kind of acknowledging what went on and determining what works for you, what doesn't work for you for the future relationship. And that would make a big difference.
I think one thing you sort of touched on, but that's important to remember, is that time, you know, is going to be an important factor. You mentioned, you know, waiting 6 months to get back in a relationship. You're not thinking clearly, or not necessarily not thinking clearly, but we need time to process these things, to reflect, and time to heal. Like the old cliche, time heals all wounds. It's hard sometimes when you're in something or recently been in something like a relationship to reflect on it from a reasonable perspective. You know, we can tell ourselves a story of what happened with an ex in this situation, and we might tend to color it in a way that is not how it actually went down. And because we still have this attachment and all these elemental, very base, like you said, primitive attachments to the person, but they're rooted more in our childhood and less in the reality of what went down, and that person, for whatever reason, wasn't right for you. And vice versa, you know, you weren't right for them if you're on the other side. So having that time to reflect and to really not make any poor decisions, is going to be valuable for yourself and for your next relationship.
Yes. And, you touched upon something very important. It didn't go that way necessarily the way it seemed to you. Especially if you're wounded, you will observe in much worse ways than it may have been. And one thing that helped one of my clients, we worked together on this and we reflected on her relationship, was when she realized, oh, those were his needs in a relationship. I wasn't able to give him that. No matter how bad the guy was, there was part that you kind of didn't understand him. And one of the important parts of this is that you sometimes do not know your power in a relationship. Because many people feel unworthy of love, and that's why they seek sometimes partners that are not necessarily the best for them. And it feels like, oh, I'm not getting the love I need in this relationship. It's kind of almost like victim mentality. I hate to use that, but it's like saying, oh, I'm not getting the love. But at the same time, I'm not realizing how I impact the other person. Actually, he kind of loved me, but I wasn't able to receive that love. So whatever he did wasn't enough for me. So, yeah, it's very helpful. You can get to a lot of insight when you go through this.
That's an important distinction, and one that doesn't need to be casting blame on yourself, but just recognizing that. And in healthy relationships, we talk about it a lot, that if you want change in the relationship, you need to look at yourself first and not say, oh, my partner needs to love me differently. Well, how are you receiving love from them that will make them want to love you differently? And to really start from that perspective, it's not always easy, but it's an important one to examine for sure.
And empowering, most importantly, it's very empowering to realize, oh my God, I didn't feel his love. I didn't, you know, he tried. Look, he did this and that, you know, but it didn't work. So maybe he gave up, you know, that's just an example, but there are so many other scenarios there.
Yeah, yeah. But just that is really powerful for our listeners to examine. And even if you are not single, if you're in a relationship, to do that and think about how you're receiving love. So we talked about stabilization and reflection for the first two phases. What is the next phase that we can go through to recoup after a breakup?
Well, once you're kind of ready to maybe wet your feet in the dating pool, I call it experimentation phase. That's when you don't have preconceived notion of what you want from a specific date. You're just kind of going out there and meeting people, having fun, going with friends, and just figuring out how the dating works, not trying on to find love tonight when I meet this guy. Basically just experimenting. And the reason why I like it is because it takes away a lot of pressure we feel when going out on dates. So without specific goals, just meeting people and most importantly, observing how it feels to be in a company of this person. So that puts you in a position of somebody who is discerning what's right and what's wrong for me. And you kind of learn to honor your emotional intelligence that way rather than overanalyzing. I talk a lot about this, specifically women. They overanalyze so much, like, did he call me? He didn't text me. Why? What did I say? You know, without having an idea how it feels, she's constantly in her head. And then she might have missed so many cues and signs on a specific days. So dates. So what I suggest is just kind of like enjoying the process, going out, basically meeting people. Go out and see what they're about. Do they have children? What school did they finish? What's their interest? And just enjoying to meet people. That should be your agenda in experimenting. Meet several people, date two or three until you feel ready for something deeper. So that's an experimentation phase, and that should be a lot of fun.
Seems like the important thing is to have no expectations, because I've found with a lot of things in life, just not even in relationship, but if I'm going to surf and I expect it to be amazing and it's not, but it could still be fun, but I'm disappointed because I thought it was going to be amazing. And it's such a powerful thing to be able to step back, be mindful, and it's not have low expectations, but maybe no expectations. Obviously, you want to have a standard for yourself, but then going in and being open to new experiences, new types of people. We've talked about it on past episodes that try to not go after what you think is your quote unquote type. And now with dating sites and Tinder and apps, you're able to pre-select people that you think are the people that you want to be with. Well, if you learn anything from this podcast, our listeners, is that we don't always know what's best in relationship and for ourselves. And so if we can take off those pre-screen things, obviously you don't want to compromise your values, and that's always an important thing we talk about. But if you're always like, well, they have to be taller than me, or just like random, you know, it could be physical things, it could be interests. As long as you're not compromising your value, open yourself up to different possibilities and you might surprise yourself.
Right. I like what you say with values. There is that kind of distinction because it's not black and white, right? You obviously have an expectation. You're going to meet a human being, right? And, you know, like it sounds ridiculous, but what I suggest in this case is instead of looking at those specific characteristics, you say, oh, he needs to be tall, he needs to drive a red Ferrari. I'm kind of exaggerating here, but he needs to have a lot of money. You know, those are like the most superficial characteristics I'm talking about, just for the sake of illustration. here. Instead of that, what is it that you like? You know, what are your values about this person, and kind of focus on that and how they make you feel. I want him to make me feel, I want him to be generous. You know, he may not be the richest guy, but he may be generous. I want him to, you know, I enjoy when he's like nice to people who serve us dinner. How, you know, so those are the things to observe, and what it evokes in you when he's interacting with other people, when he's interacting with you. Most important feeling that actually help, if you want to simplify things further, how does he make me feel about myself? In other words, am I secure, or does he make me feel insecure? Does he, is he kind of wishy-washy? Does he not call me? Does he flake on me? So those are some things to look at. And is this what I want? Do I want to be on a roller coaster ride with this guy? Or I'm a little bit insecure. Obviously, I broke up 6 months ago with somebody, but this guy proves himself each and every time. When he schedules a date with me, he shows up on time and he treats me well. So, and in that way, you allow him to kind of prove to you that he's worthy of your emotions. That's what matters the most, that he attracts you in many other ways, but that he's also safe, that you can give him your heart. Not that he will put you, oh my God, baby, let's go to Paris, you know, tonight. And then, you know, in next 3 months, you don't hear from him.
You know, I'm curious, because I know you stressed how important the experimental phase is to just have fun and really put yourself out there. But at what point does somebody start to look for the qualities that they want to have in a future partner, like the ones that you mentioned when you're analyzing in the reflection phase, like making sure you're not attracting somebody that is how your father was to you? So at what point does that phase switch once you've, you know, possibly found a future partner?
Well, that's a process, you know, that's a process that keeps going. And this self-awareness that you hopefully gained in the previous phase, reflection on your past relationship, should continue. And it's never perfect. You know, it's never black and white. Oh, now I'm absolutely not attracted to these guys that are not good for me. You're still going to be attracted to them after 6 months. Healing doesn't occur so quickly. But you're going to be aware and see the signs. And as I said, kind of, there is no like specific time frame in your head that you can say, oh, Dalila said on the podcast that 6 months, or, you know, I'm going to be ready to make that determination. It is kind of following your intuition. And I know everybody has that emotional intelligence, which was covered by anxiety. We all have high functioning anxiety that stems from these issues from the childhood. And we operate in our heads, and we want to know, just as you asked, Sarah, at what point should I know? But you follow these signs and you follow your guts. Does he make me feel secure or insecure? Does he reassure me? Does he care, you know, about my emotions and my heart, or he is clueless? And at the same time, you need to kind of learn how to communicate with men, you know, or women, in a way that is vulnerable, and setting boundaries and explaining yourself, who you are, and without necessarily attacking that person. You can't expect from somebody that you just met to kind of take care of you emotionally, who is not even necessarily committed to you. So you can just express your expectations. Oh, I want my date to be not flaky, you know, or something. Does that make sense? I'm sorry, I can't give you a specific time frame.
I think that's actually a great answer, because so many of our listeners will ask those types of questions where they want those concrete answers. And a lot of the times you can't give them. You have to do a lot of self-exploration and see the progress as you go. It takes time.
So we've talked about stabilization, reflection, and experimentation. What is the last phase for recouping after a breakup?
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility.
The decision to have a family is a very personal choice. Some women want kids now, others want kids in 10 years, or like Chase and I, we're unsure if we want a second kid. We have all the tools to prevent pregnancy, but we need more information to help us plan for it, even if kids are in the far, far future.
No matter what your plan, the one simple step you should consider taking today is an at-home hormone fertility test from Modern Fertility. And here's a fun fertility fact.
Can I say it?
Didn't know those existed.
Can I say the fun fact?
Yes, please.
Modern Fertility is the only comprehensive fertility hormone test that you can take in your pajamas. Win for the win.
Unless you wear your pajamas to the doctor's office.
I guess.
And then it's not
count.
The only one.
Plus, you will get physician-reviewed results in just a few days. It's only $159, which is way, way, way less compared to the same test that you take at the doctor's office that costs over $1,000.
Sarah shared her results from the timeline tool that they have on their website, and it made us realize, which kind of already had an idea of, but gave us the hard facts, is that we don't have a ton of time to wait if we want that second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth child. Just one more.
Maybe just one more. Modern Fertility gives you the knowledge and information you need to make the best decision. You can connect directly with a fertility nurse, join their weekly webinar, and participate in their active online community with women just like you.
Visit modernfertility.com/I do. Take the fertility quiz and get $20 off your Modern Fertility test. That's modernfertility.com/I do to take the fertility quiz and get $20 off. modernfertility.com/I do.
Yeah, the last phase is regaining confidence. Confidence is a stage when you are self-satisfied and you know that you can accomplish what you really want. And we all know that you can, but including our audience, including everybody, it's just that we need to feel it deep down in every cell of our body. We need to know we are worthy of love. And again, as I said in previous comment, it's a process, but you know, when you know what you want, what kind of partner you're looking for, again, we are not talking he's blonde or dark and tall, and you know, it's more about how he makes you feel. Do you enjoy his company? One test that I always tell my clients, and it helps me in my life, go for a drive, like a road trip, say, you know, in some kind of, it's not an exciting thing, you're not going somewhere where people are serving you and everything is romantic and wonderful. It's just a road trip and two of you are in a car. Maybe there's just music going on. And how do you feel in his company or her company? Can you enjoy the whole day of kind of what would be considered perhaps boring to some people, of ordinary road trip? I enjoy road trips, but it's a kind of like something ordinary. It's not something, you know, like Disneyland or something that people love to experience. So that will kind of help you figure out how you two get along and you can bond, you know, in these ordinary circumstances. So, but back to that confidence. That's when you kind of know who you are, what your vulnerabilities are, and how will you recognize you know, when somebody makes you feel this way or that way, and most importantly, do they make you feel safe or unsafe? Like, you know, that little baby wondering if mom will ever come back.
These are important questions to ask ourselves. And it seems to me like this last phase is never ending, because who we are is always changing. And we touched on it, but obviously values, I think, tend to not change as much, but they can. But the core fundamental values that you want in yourself and others. But then within that, there's so much complexity of just knowing yourself. And I think the more self-reflective and mindful we can be, and the better. And sometimes I feel like I overanalyze this part of myself and in relationship, because it's, I guess, easy to do, and I'm very much over analytical. So, how can someone like myself navigate that? You know, not necessarily going through a breakup, but just to knowing who you are, and then using that information to communicate with your partner to have better relationships.
Well, this is such a complex question, and like I can go in so many directions here, but a lot of it depends on your stage of life as well. Are you in your teens, 20s, or 30s? And that will determine kind of who you are in some sense. Obviously, there's basic core values and what you like and what you seek. And then there is this growth of as a person, and then you're discovering who you are as you go. And, you know, analysis is good. Analysis isn't necessarily bad, as long as you connect it with your emotions. In other words, if you're able to be mindful, because for most of us in modern times, that's our defense mechanism, analysis. Because if you analyze without sensations and without communicating with your partner, if you're just in your head, then you're going to wind up God knows where, you know, in this journey, because you can start with one perception that is perhaps wrong. Oh, she looked at me in such and such way, and that reminded you, oh, that makes me feel like this. Oh, she might hate me. This is very, very kind of simplified version. So, and then you kind of continue analyzing something that has like basically a completely wrong basis. It's completely wrong. And then you wind up God knows where in trouble. But if you're able to kind of analyze it and see, huh, she looked at me in such and such way that kind of reminds, it makes me, and then you go into your emotion, you go into your body and see what happens for you. Like, it makes me feel unwanted, unworthy, fill in a blank. And then you communicate with your partner. You know what? When you looked at me like that, it made me feel such and such. And then she may say, oh my God, I was just having gases, you know, to make a little funny. Sorry about that. You know, I love you, baby. I don't mean to make you feel unworthy. Or it can be, you know what, when you did that, it kind of annoyed me, but I'm over it, or whatever the conversation carries on. So analyzing and then being able to be vulnerable and kind of be in touch with your emotions, and then communication and setting boundaries. If it's something that's really unsavory, you know, for you, you got to set boundaries with vulnerability without accusing your partner. I hope that this makes sense. If you need me to clarify, I'm happy to.
No, it's great. It'll help me for sure, and hopefully our listeners. And yeah, it's important, that communication aspect, because the example you gave of your partner, you think they're doing one thing and then they just have an upset stomach. And I think we tend to do that in all of our relationships with friends and family. And we sometimes assume, and we don't always assume the best. We assume the worst or somewhere in between. And I think it'll save us a lot of headache and heartache if we examine what we're feeling and then openly communicate it and just directly. So rather than assuming the person is upset or they don't like what you said or whatever it is, it is a much more productive way to go through life. And you've given us and our listeners a lot of great tools to recoup after a relationship, or even if you're in a relationship, to re-examine some things and improve in existing relationships. So why don't we finish up by having you tell our listeners where they can find you online, and then we'll say goodbye.
They can find me online at beherenow.com. Simple as that. One word, beherenow.com. I will send you my links. I don't know if you guys link to profiles. I have also Instagram and Facebook page. They can get a lot of interesting free information. I also have my academy, Relationship Academy. They can get it's under membership on my website, under tab membership, and they can join for free and get a lot of get some courses that are for free. But I also have other courses, and they can earn some other courses that are not free. So it's great. And meanwhile, I'm actually finishing a course on breakups, how to recuperate after a breakup if you want that true love sometimes in the future. So I'm just putting finishing touches, and your audience can access that in a couple days, hopefully.
Awesome. Great. Well, we'll be sure to link to your website and all those resources on your show notes page on our website at idupodcast.com. And again, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Hey guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, all the links are in the show notes page, as well as on the podcast description. And while you're on our website, we encourage you guys to check out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. We send you an email for 14 days with simple, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And on our website, we also have a bunch of free resources for your relationship. So we encourage you to check those out. We also have our Love Tribe on Facebook. We encourage you guys to join the tribe and be there for support for each other. If you have questions or just need some relationship advice, we are all here for each other. The group has grown to almost 1,000 people, and we love it. So we hope you guys join that. You can go to Facebook, Love Tribe Fam, and you'll find us right there. And if you are interested in learning more about our flagship course, Spark My Relationship, we hope you guys check it out. We have a special offer that is only for podcast listeners. So you can go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock, and you can unlock that special offer and learn more. As always, thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.
You were listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.